The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome back to another episode of the Jenkins and Jones Show. Is it the Jenkins and Jones Show, the Jenkins and Jones podcast, or just Jenkins and Jones, guys?
Jenkins and Jones, man. Show, podcast, whatever you want
to
do.
Welcome back to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. Yeah. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends at Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
At LeJethro Jenkins, aka John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
And I'm Mike, aka at Guardi B, aka
Mikael. It's too much fun not to say that.
Mikael made it to a second podcast, huh?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's Monday, February 15th. I hope everyone had a terrific Valentine's Day. And give us 5 stars on whatever you're listening to this on. And yeah, John has some topics. He has some questions to start the show.
One is a suggestion. I think you guys should shower in the dark. Try it. Have you ever tried it?
I do that all the time.
Okay, Tyler. See, Mike, have you tried it?
I used to shower in the dark all the time when I was younger. Like, that was my, like, actually, especially when I was, like, depressed. I would 1 o'clock in the morning, turn the lights off, get in the shower for, like, 20 minutes, and then come out and be like, all right.
right. Yeah.
I feel like since you're taking, since you're kind of minimizing the sense of sight there, that it heightens the other senses that the shower stimulates there. So, yeah, taking a shower in the dark is a fucking experience. I highly recommend it.
It's a great, peaceful experience. Turn on some music, light a candle, you know what I mean? And it's, self-care is important. We're in a pandy right now, you feel me? Take care of yourself. Also, like, I have a question. Like, it's Valentine's Day. People are going to be having a lot of sex, right?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah,
sex. People be having sex, guys.
Yeah, anyway, okay. I was thinking about this. Are you guys fans of morning sex?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. I dig it. But the thing is, are y'all having full sex in the morning?
I feel like in my older years now, I kind of pace myself with the morning sex. Like, I used to be a wild boy back in my 20s. But now that I got, right?
Going, right? Every game, you're going 100%, 82 games a year. You feel me?
Exactly. I used to go Tarzan in that motherfucker when I was like 23, 24 when I wake up. But now I kind of pace myself because it's like, I got shit to do. I got to check my emails after this. You know what I mean?
Got
like,
a lot going on in the morning, pace right? Myself. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like morning sex is cool, but I only want a piece of sex, just a dollop of sex. You know what I mean? I feel like morning sex is like the dollar menu of sex, right? Where you get like a Wendy's, you know what I mean? You get the double bacon cheeseburger. It's good. It hits the spot. You feel me? But it's not a meal. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I approach morning sex. I don't want to go. No, you can't be sweating and then you got a whole day right after it. Right. I still got to work out. You know what I mean? It's hard to balance all that. You feel me?
Yeah. And there's no sex better than sex that you can just pass out after that.
Right.
You can't do that for morning. Right. You got to goddamn get shit in motion, you know?
Not on Sunday. I mean, it just depends on the situation, but I would rank it afternoon, morning, night for me personally.
Wow! Nice
afternoon.
Sex.
Afternoon being at the top.
Afternoon, kids are. See, I mean, you got to remember. I have other considerations. Kids are at school or the grandparents' house.
Yeah, I was gonna say afternoon sex sounds like some very parental scheduling.
100%. That's always been the preference for me because you get the afternoon and then you take a nice hour. You pass out for an hour. And then you wake up and then you know what I mean? Like when you're in college, do the afternoon, take a nap. And then it's like, you wake up at 7 o'clock. Okay, cool. We have a day ahead of us.
This is the thing. Night sex is always somewhat expected. Afternoon sex is never expected. And that's why afternoon sex is high. I still prefer night sex because you can go all the way ham. You can get a full meal of sex. You know what I mean? And then you can pass the fuck out, right? But you know what I'm saying? But afternoon sex is cool because it's really never expected and that's always exciting. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say afternoon sex was my shit in college because we would like, you know, coordinate shit around schedules and classes and shit. So afternoon sex was cool, man.
Here's what I would say about preferring daytime is other than having sex, the best parts of sex is right before and then afterwards. And so if you waste all the I just had sex feelings on being asleep, you know what I mean? Like, I love walking around. Like, you have sex, you have dinner. You know what I mean? Like, the rest of your day is perspective. Great.
You have thought through this. This is not the first time you've had this conversation. That is great. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a vibe after having sex. You're like, you know,
it's already a great day.
Right, you know what I mean? Right. So yeah. Half the so that's why you prefer morning sex. I get that over night sex. That makes sense. I still don't think the same way. You know what I mean? But I get it. I get the logic. You know what I mean? I get what matters to you.
Well, since John has come in and rearranged the rundown, we may as well talk about our other Valentine's Day. By the way, I saw someone on Twitter yesterday said, I hope everyone has a goopy Valentine's Day.
Goopy.
I get it, though. I
love that. That was so funny. Like, of all the goop going, bro.
Get the grossness going. Make it real nasty on Sunday. You feel me? Very goopy. Yes.
I wanted to ask you guys, because I know I have a story that you enjoy along these lines of what's your biggest Valentine's Day like disaster, like fuck up that didn't work out? And I will start because I know you both enjoy this story and it's tangentially your fault. So
yes.
Shar and I were watching, doing a Game of Thrones run through to catch up before the final season because it was going to be the best thing ever. So we all had to be on the same page. And so we're speeding through Game of Thrones. I think the last season started in like April or something. So we're going through it. We're watching Game of Thrones. It's Valentine's Day. We finished the first episode. We were watching like an episode a night after we put the kids down. Finish an episode, we looked at the clock, we're like, oh shit, it's only 10 o'clock. And she was like, what do you think? You know, we call it a night, or you know what I mean? Or we watch, and I was like, it's only 10, like let's watch another one, which is how we ended up watching the Red Wedding episode of Game of Thrones on Valentine's at 11 o'clock at night.
y'all broke in Valentine's Day seeing a woman getting stabbed in the baby.
In the baby.
They stabbed that woman in the baby, bro.
That was the only time I've tweeted about something and nobody gave me a spoiler. When I was telling them about watching Game of Thrones, nobody. It's like everybody knew. Nah, he got to go through this shit the same way.
Twitter had a party when you got to the Red Wedding episode, bro.
But the thing is, if Twitter didn't respond in that way, I would have quit. I was. I'm like, yo, I ain't never seen no shit like this before. My heart is broken, okay? And y'all want me to go on? You know what I mean? Like, they stabbed her in the baby. I remember rooting for the credits. I was like, something feels weird. Something feels off. I don't like this. The credits just need to roll. Get out of this season. Nope. The last fucking minute and a half of the fucking shit. They did all of that.
It's not a good Valentine's Day vibe. You guys have any horror stories? Any Valentine's Day battle scars?
You know, I've had some pretty good Valentine's Days. I think the one worst Valentine's Day I had was when I was in like middle school and I got in trouble. Like my Valentine's parents came to school after I gave her a card, and on the card it said like something like I want to show you something sexy for Valentine's Day, and then it was like a little, you know, foil mirror in the card or some shit, right? Yeah. Which is kind of inappropriate for a 12-year-old to give, but not parents come to school to hash it out with little man type shit. You know what I mean? So
they called the parents to school for you.
No, the parents. No, the parents got the card, saw the card of their daughter, and these motherfuckers wanted to see me after that shit. So I got called down to the principal's office for that shit.
They called you to the principal's office for taping a piece of gum wrapper onto a Valentine's card.
Bro, they called me into that motherfucker. You know, I walk in, I see, you know, my girl time. I'm like, hey, and then I see her parents. I'm like, oh shit, what the fuck? Yeah. So yeah.
I don't have a weird Valentine's, like when in middle school and shit, like my parents were not spending no money on no motherfucking Valentine's shit, right? So I ended up being the motherfucker that would like break up on Valentine's Day and then get back together after.
I had to. I didn't John have was no single fucking
from February
money,
13th like, to February 15th.
Yeah, right, dude. Like I had to. So like what? Like motherfucker, like happy Valentine's Day. You broke up. That's the only way I could figure out to not look like an asshole, which made me look like an asshole. It's my parents' fault. Just give me fucking $7 for fucking candy in a car. They were like, nah, bro. You know this shit ain't serious. But yeah. I didn't really have, I guess every Valentine's Day was a bad day when I was in elementary school then.
You didn't want to write a poem? It didn't cost Tyler anything. It didn't cost Tyler anything to tape some tinfoil in a card, bro.
First of all, nobody appreciates no fucking written fucking card from no number two, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like.
Oh, no, I bought the shit. Yeah, the card I bought.
He bought that card, you know what I mean? But I'm saying like, I wrote a note one time and it was a 4-page letter. Like it was eighth grade. And it's, the parents came. I got benched for that shit. And I just basically all I was saying was like, I was saying shit like I want to take a shower. I was too scared to really do any of this shit. It wasn't about sex. It was like, you know, it was like anyway.
Were just writing Boys to Men lyrics.
She wrote me one. I wrote her one back. He found it one day. Like the dad did, brought it to school, showed the principal, showed the fucking my coach, and I got benched for like. 36 seconds. I just couldn't start basically.
The coach was like, you want me to punish him for this?
No more notes for this. No more notes after this. I'm done with notes. So no, man, like fuck notes.
My second grade girlfriend wrote me a story for Valentine's Day where I was playing against Michael Jordan in the NBA finals.
What? Where is she really, now?
Bro,
I'm curious if she's like a sports journalist or something.
She's a very high powered lawyer that I've discussed this with.
Oh, you told me. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
She's doing very well for herself. I was the only boyfriend she ever had. She's having a much better career than I had. She got everything figured out. She's a lawyer 6 days a week and she spends the other days surfing. You know what I mean?
What a fucking
lie. That's fire.
That's pretty good. All right. There's our Valentine's Day goop. So
the goop.
The inside goop on Jenkins
and Jones. I love goop. That's a nice word. It's a fun word to say, but go ahead.
All right, let's talk a little basketball. The Jazz. A little shooty hoops, man. I hate that I have to say nice things about the Utah Jazz, bro, but I like watching the Jazz.
I'm not mad at saying nice things about the Utah Jazz. I just won't say nice things about Utah Jazz fans. Fucked up. You know what I mean? But like, you know what I'm saying? But like the Jazz are fun to watch. They're a good team. I think it'll balance out. You know, I think they're the best team in the league. Good. You know, they have the best record. But I'm interested in seeing what they do in the playoffs. You know, but they're fun to watch. They're a fun basketball team.
Yeah, they are 17 and won their last 18.
That's
and
crazy.
The one loss. Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy.
And 16 of those wins were double digits. But the one loss was from the Nuggets. They still can't seem to get a read on the Nuggets, which is interesting as hell.
It's the rock battle.
It's the rock formation battle.
The Colorado rocks and the Utah rocks.
Listen, bro. Speaking of Utah fans, if you ever shit on the Jazz, prepare to get fucking a deluge of Jazz fans taking pictures in fucking rock formations in the background. I said some slick shit about the Jazz, and I never saw so much fucking geological formation abs in my fucking life. These motherfuckers take pride in their geological formation.
Hella social studies teachers out there.
Yes, there was so much burnt sienna in my
a lot of nubuck in those pictures. Yes. Nubuck Oxfords, a lot of those in those photos. You feel me? I had to do a prediction for the gig on like who would make the playoffs. Am I just hey, I'm gonna do a surprise thing? Was the Jazz not making the playoffs? Right? Like I'm looking at the West and I'm seeing like you know the Pelicans were the team to say right. But I'm like, they have a chance of being good if they're healthy. You know, outside of the bubble last year with Zion, they were solid.
This is before the season.
Yeah. Right. And I said, the Jazz aren't going to make it, right? I've muted so many fucking new buck shoe wearing motherfuckers, Sid who have jumped in my mentions, letting me know, never forget. Remember when you said that idiotic shit? You know what I'm saying? Yes, I do remember it. You know what I'm saying? But welcome to the abyss, motherfucker. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Keep screaming into the tornado of mutedness, motherfucker. But yeah, man. You're like, yes, Tyler, I've experienced that before.
Yes.
Worst fans in basketball.
Yeah, and while we're here, I think we need to show some appreciation to our strongest soldier in the war against Jazz fans, who was Vernon Maxwell. That motherfucker be lighting Jazz fans up. He's so fucking funny with it.
He loves it too. Like he revels, you know what I mean, in their hatred for him. You know what I mean? It empowers him. You feel me?
He gains strength. It's like you in a certain other city that we're not going to give any airtime to on the
tenderloin sandwiches. We'll say that much though.
How about tenderloin sandwiches were mad at me? You know what I mean?
But yes, that city is Indianapolis. Who doesn't like the Jeff? Fuck being scared of Indianapolis, man.
Like, no, I'm just not going to do any. I'm not going to look. We gave enough free ass to Arby's. I don't need to plug the city of Indianapolis.
Don't do that to Arby's. Don't do that to Arby's. But it was that was the easiest back and forth with people, because when they would shit on me, I would just post their photo because, you know what I mean? The creator already shitted on them, all right? God threw me an alley-oop and I boomed that motherfucker. Here are you. Enjoy. Well, Mr. Tenderloin Sandwich.
Tenderloin Sandwich. Tyler. And shrimp cocktails. Whatever. Tenderloin sandwiches and shrimp cocktails.
Don't forget the shrimp cocktail.
How dare you besmirch our name?
Well, and listen.
Besmirch! Yes, I love that word.
As we discussed on the show before, Sean and I had a good time in Indianapolis. It's nice, but when people are defending their city and the first thing they bring up is that it's walkable, you know, like you just
infrastructure,
right? We have incredible infrastructure.
We have great urban planning
on a Saturday night, bro.
To wrap up on the Jazz, Tyler's exactly right. I think they're actually 18-1 in their last 19. I was gonna try and just make it about the Lakers somehow by pointing out that they were 11-4 before Shaq talked shit on Donovan Mitchell, and they're 11-1 since. But they're 18-1 over their last 19, so I'm not going to try and do that.
Give that to Shaq. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give.
No, that's why I can't do it, man. Yeah, I can't do it. Donovan splits before and after. You know what I mean? There's no – it's just they got a good team. I hate that there's so many players I like on the Jazz and the Celtics, because I just always enjoy hating those teams. But I love – I mean, I love Donovan Mitchell, Jason. I mean, I love these dudes, so I can't really – it's just weird. It's a weird dynamic for me personally, but I will say the Jazz have coming up their next five, the 76ers, the Clippers, the Hornets, and the Lakers.
We'll see. The Hornets look good too. The Hornets, you know, that's the worst team on that little run, and they're looking good too. So I'm interested. But they just beat the shit out the Bucks, bro. You know what I mean? And Donovan had like the worst 20-point game Donovan Mitchell's going to have. You know what I mean? And they beat the shit out the Bucks. You know what I mean? Like, and I was like, I mean, they're great. You know what I mean? I feel like Jordan Clarkson, he's getting into his Lou Will type bag. He's becoming like a Lou Will, Jamal Crawford type
Everyone's
player,
right
like,
in their role. Yeah. Everyone's right in their
right,
role on the team.
Right,
you
right,
can tell
right.
There's
coming
no
off
tension.
The bench,
there's
aggressive.
No tension in any moment in those games about, oh, I want to be doing this, but I have to do this. It's free. It's beautiful.
There's no egos. The ball movement is great. You know what I'm saying? Like Eric said, everybody knows their roles. You know what I mean? Clarkson comes out there gunning. Everybody knows what time it is. You know what I mean? Like,
I gotta end this segment, man.
Do you think old boy's an all-star though? The center?
Gobert?
You think you can?
We have the same conversation.
He might be defensive player of the year. He might be.
He might be the defensive player of the year, and I still would not personally vote for him for the All-Star game, bro. The All-Star game is not. We have all NBA for congrats. You're the best center. The All-Star game is a show. And Rudy
and
Gobert
not putting
is
on
not
one.
The show, bro.
Mr. Screen Assist.
This is the thing. Is he one of the top?
I don't want to see how solid of a screen you set in the fucking All-Star game, bro. I want to see fucking alley-oops from half court, dog.
I was asked that question, and I was like, I just don't care about Rudy Gobert. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had like 28 and like 13 or something against the Bucks, and I'm like,
And he had not one play you retweet on Twitter.
I don't remember a single fucking play. I just remember he had a good game. It's like, I don't, you know, like, he's not an all-star to me. He's just not. He's a good basketball player. You know what I mean?
And that, well, and, I, and listen, we have basketball games that are for people who are, who make the right play and are great team guys and play great defense. It's called the playoffs, bro. Right.
And that's called the season. That's called every game. Like, we have enough of Rudy Gobert. I don't need an extra game of Rudy Gobert. You know what I mean?
I don't need Rudy Gobert like setting sky. I don't, we don't need it in the, we don't need him in the weird looking jersey. Like,
right, right, right.
You know, we just, I don't
galloping need up and down the court. You know, yeah, we get it. Right. No, I'm good.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, but he'll probably be an all-star though, bro.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, they need to just make it positionless and just really solve all that, you know, cut all the bullshit. There's no way Rudy Gobert is one of the top 24 players in the league, even if he's a defensive player of the year. It's just not, we don't,
it's not that league, bro. It's not that league. I mean, like, you look at the way the Nets beat him. I mean, the way you're going to beat the Jazz is you score 130. You know what I mean? And you say, yeah, yeah. Can you score 130 four times out of seven? You know, I mean, it's just not that league where it's like you have a great defensive big man. Like, that's right, just not right, the NBA right. in the 2020s. I mean, we all know that. All right. That's it. No more good things. Hopefully that's the last.
We'll be talking about them more for sure. I mean, they're good.
I know.
They're legit.
I said they're good enough that I'm hoping the Lakers find a way back into the one seed so that we can get Clippers, Jazz in the Western Conference semis and the Lakers don't have to try and go back-to-back series against those teams.
I honestly don't see them being that difficult for the Lakers to take out. I mean, maybe
it's just going to be work, bro.
Yeah, it'll be work. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
It's just going to be – it's just going to be like – I don't know. I'd rather I'll be annoyed at Anthony Davis three of the games. You know what I mean? For not being physical enough. I'd rather skip it personally.
Yeah. I'm just really nervous about Anthony Davis falling. You know what I mean? Like during the playoffs. That has me more nervous in the games because I know like my heart is going to stop three times because he's going to act like it's the worst thing in the world.
Okay, but I wanted to ask you guys about this because I was texting you guys last night during Nets Warriors when Draymond went down with the non-contact and he's holding his knee and he's laying there.
He checks back in,
but for like 10 minutes, it was like, oh man, it's another one of those. And I wanted to ask you guys because I'm not a Warriors fan at all, but I still was just like sick over it watching the game, right?
Yeah.
Is that because we're older now? I don't feel like I used to give a shit particularly. You know what I mean? But I like worry about these dudes now. If someone goes down holding their knee, I'm like, it makes me sad to the extent that it's hard to enjoy the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I will say as a kid, I hated seeing my favorite players get hurt, but I didn't give a shit about anyone else. Now I'm just like in fucking old guy, you know, these are fucking 20-something-year-old kids, and I'm like, oh no, I hope he's okay, even if I don't give a shit about him. You know what I mean?
So, I hope it doesn't fuck up his money, like I said. He's already richer than I'll ever be. Like, is that a testosterone issue? Like, we get older.
I love me a nice little emotional moment. I love crying and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I've loved that since like 28, though. So that's before like the testosterone started to, you know what I mean? But I think that's just like, dude, we see, it's not just basketball for us. Like, I mean, we're arguing with fucking 23-year-olds about like, you know, the Warriors. And then we get sad when Klay Thompson goes down and they're like, you were just, I can not want be a Warriors fan and not want a dude to get fucking hurt. I remember when KD got hurt, I was like, any way but this way, please. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And there were people in the crowd cheering. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's like, you know, as you get older, like you, I don't have to like the team to see that they're a person. I don't dislike the person. I'm just rooting for a different color scheme.
Yeah.
And I never forget that shit. You know what I mean? So as we're older, we start to realize, you know, they have people that they're responsible for. And this is their career and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we see it's bigger than basketball.
Yeah. I think the first time it kind of sunk in for me is, you know, I'm a lifelong UNC fan. And I remember in 2013 when Duke got bounced and they showed that, you remember that picture of Jabari Parker just in the locker room, just stretched out, looking down at the ground, just like that hurt me. And I was like, I feel this way about a Duke player. You know what I mean? But because at that point, I'm an adult. These are kids to me. And you know what I'm saying? So it was a shift there when I was like, yeah.
You was on my ass that day, though.
I was though. We was at South by Southwest, and I was clowning the fuck out of you for being a Duke fan.
It was either South by or New Orleans, but either way.
No, it was South by. It was March Madness.
Yeah, you was on my head, but then you was in your room like, damn, this man. Jabari.
Yeah, I was clowning your ass. I was sick for Jabari.
But you was on my head, you know what I mean?
I just think
it's kind of unfortunate that I'm a Duke fan. It is. I understand it as I get older. You know what I mean? Like,
John, we're not angry, bro. We're just all disappointed every time we remember it. I just would rather not think about it.
I deserve to be a UNC fan. You know what I mean? I do. Yes. But I grew up, you know, like I said, I saw Bobby Hurley before. I saw Bobby Hurley hit all the scrappy those white
point guard. That's who made you feel.
That's Hurley. John's That's identity it. Right there. He loves the scrappy white guard, bro.
I saw defense and three pointers as a 9 year old, and I was in love. What type of 9 year old?
That's the only dude. I grew up playing baseball, dog. You know what I mean? Like, that was like the basketball game I'd see a year. You know what I mean? So like, I didn't really start watching hoops till like fifth, sixth grade. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what I was like. I wanted my name to be Rasheed Wallace, but I was already a Duke fan. You know what I mean? I didn't actually start hating North Carolina until like Twitter. I would actually like root for North Carolina outside of Duke games. And then Twitter, would shit on me so bad about being a Duke, and I'm like, fuck y'all, I don't want y'all to ever see happiness again. You know what I mean? And now, like you said, if you're old, I don't root against North Carolina. There's a dude from St. Louis. You know what I'm saying? Love that plays for him. I'm not gonna root against that dude.
When you're younger, sports is like you're really caught up in every aspect of it, and it seems so like real and so important to you. And when get older. I watch more basketball for sure now than I did when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of my job, obviously, I would say I watch more sports on the whole. But I think as you get older, you start to think of it more like a, not to have two references to this show, but it's more like you're watching Game of Thrones. You're watching a TV show and you're aware that it's a TV show.
You know it's entertainment.
At some point they turn the lights off, the actors leave the set, and then they're human beings. And so, you know what I mean? At least me personally, I didn't really feel that way, you know, as a kid. You just felt like the Chicago Bulls were, this is who they are.
Their excitement was your excitement. Like, you were super, like, overjoyed as if you had won when they won. I got older, when they won, like I told y'all, I was just happy I wasn't sad. You know what I'm saying? The joy isn't as real as the sadness in when your as sadness is when your team loses.
And so as a result, if a dude gets hurt or whatever, you're like, that's a person, you know, like it's not a dude on a show that you're watching or something. So yeah. I don't know. It just to that end, I have to say I was really this is another old man take, I guess, but I was really happy to see all of the KD and Warriors comments after that game last night, that it was just like, he was basically giving the same comments about, you know, the Warriors that Bron still gives about the Heat. It was like, you know, I needed to go and it was an important part of my journey. You know,
I grew a lot in Oakland, you know what I mean? In the Bay. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Duel it out in the court though.
Yeah, KD's always been honest about that. I remember, like, back in 2016 when he first went there, he had an interview and he said, you know, Russ, you know, he's got a family. You know, he married his high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. He's established. He's good where he is. I'm still trying to find myself. And I was like, we don't see honesty of vulnerability like that.
But you're right. He's always been self-aware. And as I think we talked about this on the last show, like, he's self-aware and he's also aware of the fact that he's bigger than consequences for being vulnerable or honest. You know what I mean? Like, what? I know you say shit to him. He's a 7-foot dude that'll make a 3-pointer right directly over your outstretched hands. Like, he doesn't give a fuck.
His jumper's never been blocked in the history of him playing basketball. Right? He can do whatever the fuck he wants to, literally. You know what I mean?
Jenkins and Jones is proud to be presented by FanDuel. Never played FanDuel Fantasy before? Great! Exclamation point. FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with our 20% deposit match. Why do you play on FanDuel? FanDuel Fantasy is an easy app to use. That's why I use it. I like that you can pick a new team every game. And I like competing for cash payouts because cash payouts are fun. FanDuel is offering new users a deposit match of up to $500 when you make your first deposit. Go to FanDuel.com/cowherd for more info. FanDuel.com/cowherd. FanDuel, more ways to win. All right. I wanted to, everyone was very excited about the animal combine conversation from the last show. And I have to say, I'm happy that this new audience gets to see how weird our group chat conversations are. It's really a delight. So
that was more Jennings and Jones than anything we've done on this podcast since we started at the volume podcast network
right. And to that end, someone sent us a video that I just wanted to discuss because it actually got me thinking. I just forwarded this to you guys for record. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but in Japan, they have a version of American Ninja Warrior. I would imagine it's called something like, I mean, it's ninjas are their shit, so it's probably just Ninja Warrior, or maybe it's just Warrior. I don't know. But they had these contestants lined up getting ready to do the course, and to show them what it was supposed to look like, they had a monkey do the Ninja Warrior course. So it was Monkey Ninja Warrior, and the monkey did it in like 67 seconds.
67 seconds. And every monkey on the planet could get through that in 67 seconds, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not impressive. Like, a monkey could come straight out the womb and get through that shit, and we're struggling mightily. It is a show for us. You know what I'm saying? For them, it's just, you know, that's walking. You know what I mean?
And the monkey's name is Gomez Chamberlain, which is a great fucking name, whoever named that monkey. So yeah, YouTube Gomez Chamberlain on that fucking obstacle.
Where did Chamberlain come from? Is that his last name or is that?
Yeah, this is his last name, I guess.
Well, you give a monkey a surname? It's just, or just two first names? Gomez Chamberlain? Gomez.
But John said it, like, human beings have whole gyms dedicated to training people to do the Ninja Warrior course. And then they just threw a monkey out there. The only hard thing for the monkey was probably keeping the shorts on.
Right. It was just pitiful. And did you see how disheartened the contestants looked?
Like, yes.
Like damn.
Why did you?
They got the monkey out there to shit that? On their whole existence. You know what I mean? Why am I doing this now after that?
He's like the monkey PR'd on them by like 3 minutes, probably.
Oh, easy. Like, easy. And he didn't think, he just did things. He just did it. Like, you see him going through the monkey bars? It was like,
oh, it's like,
this is named after, this is my name.
Yeah, I saw him go through the monkey bars. I was like, okay, that's why they're called monkey bars. Like,
did you see his so face? Bro, he might as well been on the couch watching TV. You know what I mean? His face was just super blank. That was the most boring part of the whole time. He was smiling the whole time until he did monkey bars. Okay, guys, like this is silly. Why would you have me even do this? It's not fair. You know what I mean?
I would say that it really made me realize that circuses are the worst possible use of animals' athleticism. You know what I mean? Like, this kind of a TV show, I feel like people would actually watch. But it's like, why are you training bears to stand on, like, buckets and
tricycles and shit?
Let them do bear things in front of us. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Let them run through a tree.
Trash. I don't fuck with circuses or the zoo or none of that shit, bro. Like, I remember going, I think I went to the zoo, like, last time I went to the zoo was probably like 7 years ago. It's like 7, 8 years ago. And I remember going to, like, and seeing a bear in the zoo. And the bear didn't even look like a bear as far as his disposition.
The motherfuckers be bored as hell,
sad as hell. I'm like, this motherfucker had the whole, like endless land in front of him in the wild, right? I mean, it sucks daily. You're trying to, you know, fight for your life or whatever, but they're built for it. You know what I mean? They're built for it. And so it's like, it looks, I'm like, I don't want to do these things anymore. I don't want to support this. It's jail. It's animal jail. That's what zoos are. You know what I mean? I'm not a fan.
You go from a life of fucking catching salmon in your mouth and climbing up 30 feet tall trees to get some honey. And now you're just waiting on a fucking buzzard to push out a basket of fruit and ground beef and shit.
And a whole bunch of kids are like staring at you like, y'all are food. Why? You know what I'm saying? I remember the same time too, I went to the primate area where the monkeys are at and shit. and there was a monkey eating a banana just chilling in a little location, right? And a kid ran over like, hey! And the face that monkey made was so human. I'm like, evolution, bro. That, I mean, it walked off like, these little motherfuckers, I'm so tired. I'm telling you, bro, the face was just so annoyed. Like, can you leave me the fuck alone? I'm trying to eat lunch here. This is my break, dog. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, he walked off, like he just had enough. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay,
he clocked out. He clocked out for
it. Right, like, damn, not today, y'all. Yeah. Not today. You know what I mean? Y'all on my last nerve now. It's been a rough one. I'm like, get this motherfucker out of here, dog. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I'm never coming back again.
I saw one time we took
dudes are canceled.
One time we took Vincent to the zoo when he was a little guy, and I saw, you know, you always hear the stories about like the chimpanzees throwing poop or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we saw I want to say it was the gorillas were throwing poop at this zoo, and the thing that I didn't realize was like they were very visibly laughing about it as they were doing it. You know what I mean? And so it was like, oh, is this just because they're doing what the only thing you could that like a more or less human brain could think to do to like fuck with people? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is that where this comes from? Like, I don't know. It was definitely a similar to what you were describing. I was like, that's kind of human.
That's very human. And I looked at him and this is the thing. I looked at his face and I got it. I got it. I'm like, I understood exactly. I'd been there. I'd been where he's been, where he was at. You know what I mean? I'm like, this ain't right, bro. Cancel this.
Hey, have y'all ever seen that clip of those two gorillas fighting in the zoo and then some lady in the crowd is like, somebody stop them, break it up. Have y'all ever seen that? What the fuck?
Did the gorillas look at them like, yo, shut the fuck up. We doing gorilla shit over here. Yeah. Fuck is you talking about? You know what I mean? Somebody stop them. Hey, somebody go get that motherfucker.
She had the Minnesotanist voice ever, bro. She was horrified, and it was like, no!
Yes, no! Stop it! Get her ass like, back on the porch, you feel me? You feel me? You know what I mean? Like, dog, we doing real nigga shit over here, you feel me? Don't jump off the porch if you ain't ready, you feel me? Like,
yeah. Dog, what is somebody going to do? Two 700-pound pure muscle-killing machines decide they want to go at it. Besides, wait for them to figure that shit out on their own.
Have you seen that time when I think he was walking by? Like,
I won't break up two chihuahuas, bro. If there are two animals that are having something out, that's their business. You know what I mean?
Did you see the time that Silverback was walking by this like crew
and dragged that motherfucker just to do it?
Bro, yeah. He grabbed him and dragged him as if he was like loose leaf paper. It literally took him zero strength. He spent like 0.1% of energy, you know what I mean, to drag a whole adult human.
And then he just let him go just kept on his way. Like, it could have been real bad for you, bro.
I mean, he literally could have did this right here with him.
Yeah.
Like, easily.
He could have, like, one off. Hulk, yeah, like fucking Hulk did Loki and shit.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah. I'm like, yo, these, you know, Silverbacks, bro. Whew.
Strong as fuck.
Well, no part of that.
Strong. S-K-R-O-N-G.
He's strong as hell, cuz.
All right. I think all three of us were liberal arts majors in college, but I believe occasionally science.
I was a finance major. Very
Okay. Is that liberal arts? It's not science.
It's business.
It's business. Okay. Yeah, well, occasionally science runs across our fields of expertise. And I feel like this is one of those instances. PBS's digital studio has a show called It's Okay to Be Smart. And they put out a study saying that blowing on your Nintendo cartridges did not make them work. And we say, bullshit.
We say, fuck that study. That's what the fuck we say. That is some bullshit. Listen, bro, you can't tell us that it didn't work because it worked, for one.
We actually saw it work.
We saw it work. And two, you knew when you had a good blow that would make that motherfucker work. Because the sound when it hit the corner of the cartridge, that shit was different. That shit was like a whistle or like a click. And you knew when you heard that motherfucker. Why even try to shit on the ingenuity of 8-year-olds 30 years ago? What the fuck is there to gain from this, dude?
Right. How much money was spent researching this? And time.
Researching how to shit all over
it's a okay to be smart, child. You know what I'm saying? Y'all allocate money to shit on, you know what I'm saying, 8th graders. You know what I'm saying? You got nothing more interesting to do? No, we actually saw it work. We experienced it. We did it. Like, no, bro, when you blew in it and it put, you put it in, like, we saw it happen. How are you going to tell us it didn't work? I don't get that.
It didn't work. You blew on the cartridge. It did work.
Yeah. So what the fuck does that tell you?
So the math is adding up. The math is mathing, dog. what was the name of that show? It's Okay to Be Smart?
It's Okay to Be Smart.
Why are they being stupid? Why are you being stupid? It's Okay to Be Smart. It's okay to be smart. It's be smart. You saw it happen.
They specifically said the blowing on the cartridge was a placebo and that it was just the action of taking it out and putting it back in that made it work. But I personally, through years of extensive field testing, can tell you, you could take it out and put it back in and it wouldn't work.
And it wouldn't work
until you blew on it. So maybe the cartridges now 30 years later have changed their chemical composition. You know, maybe the copper on the shit has changed to where it's giving them a bad result of their study, but they're incorrect.
It's okay to be smart.
It's okay to be smart. How dare they? Stupid out here.
You're so right, though. Like, you had to set the record straight on that. Like, that was what was just like, that was what you just had to make sure the world knew. Like, these six-year-olds thought they were doing something.
We'll tell them. It was somebody that back in, like, whatever, what, 94.
This is why it's not okay to be smart. Right. This is why it's not okay to be smart.
It was somebody back in 94 that was saying it didn't work. You know what I mean? And now he has the power to prove it. You know what I mean? And everybody's like, shut the fuck up. The same way they were back in 94, you weirdo. Shit. He hasn't had a friend because he's been trying to prove that wrong his whole life. He's dedicated his whole life to this moment. And Tyler gets on Twitter, tells him to shut the fuck up. Everybody agrees. Okay. And he's back to being the same lame ass dude he was in 94. You fucking weirdo.
I don't know how you look at America and go, we're not interacting with facts well enough. This is what I'm going to pick to plant my flag on, bro. Right.
That's the crusade you decided to pick. Right. Fuck that guy, man.
All right. John disagrees with the internet and wants to talk about Malcolm and Marie, which I've not seen, but I feel like the day after it came up, I was on Twitter and it was like a, like we've talked about with
did
certain.
Did y'all watch it? Tyler, did
no,
you
no,
watch
no.
It?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Tyler, give me your opinion first.
You know, I thought it was wonderfully acted. You know, I feel like there's so often when you try to get like, you know, the rapid fire dialogue with it, where there's, you know, people talking extensively and intelligently, that it doesn't sound authentic. You know what I mean? I didn't think that.
Not at all.
Like, I feel like with Aaron Sorkin, like the shit that he does, I'm like, nobody fucking talks like that, dude. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But this shit, it felt genuine. But I will say though, the one gripe that I have with this is, I think it's a display of two flawed humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if they wanted to showcase that, you know, these two are equally flawed, because I came out of this like, yo, Malcolm is a dick. Like, he was the villain of this shit.
Me too. I'm like, bro, reel it in. I said that like 75 times. Like, bro, reel it in, dog. You tripping. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I thought it was wonderfully shot. I thought it was, you know, beautiful aesthetically. I didn't see the gripes that everyone else had with it. You know, I thought it was cool.
I think a lot of the gripes is because I think like the white dude wrote it. You know what I mean? And he's a white male talking about the male gaze.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do feel like that one rant Malcolm went on was pure film guy rant shit. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that was the director or the writer.
What's
getting a history
funny
off during that.
Is I was told that reminds me of somebody. They remind somebody of me, you know what I mean? So I was like, you know what I mean? But yeah, that was a very nerdy moment, and I can be really, really, really nerdy. But you know, like for me, I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that they were both flawed. I hate movies where one thing I like about like Do the Right Thing is one of my favorite movies is because like everybody's wrong in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like Spike Lee doesn't give you the answer to the test. It's like, this shit's fucked up and everybody's fucked up in a sense, you know what I mean? And I dig that. And that's one thing I liked about it. I thought it was beautiful. But I thought it also mimicked the creation to me. Like creating to me is, it feels like that movie felt. You know what I mean? Where like the movie wasn't a fun experience. It's a beautiful experience. It was a difficult experience though. It wasn't a fun experience, but it was a satisfying one. And I feel like when I'm creating and writing, like when people ask me about writing, like I enjoy writing, but it's not fun to me. You know what I'm saying? It's a difficult experience. And so like, that's what I really liked about that. And I kind of feel like in a relationship, I mean, that was a very unhealthy relationship. You know what I mean? But there's a certain amount of work and effort that needs to be put in. And it's not always, you know, a fun experience, but it's, you know, if you, in the end, it can be satisfying. You know what I mean? So yeah. I dug it. I thought it was cool.
Yeah. There was definitely, you know, some tension throughout the film, even when they were having good moments together where you knew an argument was coming. And that shit triggered me a bit, because I've been in relationships like that before. It was like, why the fuck are we arguing? Yeah, we were just laughing 30 seconds ago. How the fuck did we wind up here? But yeah, I'm speaking of when someone said that rant reminded them of you. there was the part, do you remember the part when Marie told Malcolm, you know, I was talking about his lack of jealousy concerning her.
Yeah.
I'm not a jealous dude either.
Yeah.
And that's something Summer kind of, you know, jabs at me about, right? And you know, the part that she said was, you know, Marie said, you're not jealous because that's a reflection of your narcissism. You don't think that anyone is better than you. And Summer saw that shit, my wife, and she was like, right, like, oh,
that a whole lot, bro. Like,
yeah, and I was like, oh shit, am I a fucking narcissist?
You know, this is the thing, Todd. But the thing is, you know, like, okay, if somebody is not attracted to you, how do you respond to that? Are you sad?
Nah, I don't give a shit.
No, yeah, if somebody's not attracted to me, I'm like, okay, well, that's their loss.
I
feel like, you know, like it's cool. Like, I'm not mad. I'm like, I mean, it doesn't affect how I feel. You know what I mean? And I don't think you're better than anybody, but I think you don't think anybody's better than you. And I think that's fine.
Right.
I think there's things that I bring to the table that others can't. You know what I mean? I am the only me. And the next motherfucker, they're only them too. And so like, you know, I think being jealous is not, you know, I mean, I don't know. I get that. But the way the actors were incredible. Zendaya is a fucking star, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, the way there's a particular moment. Tyler, you know what moment I'm talking about? With the knife.
With the knife? Oh my God.
What's crazy is when she did it, I knew what was happening immediately. I called it out. I'm like, okay, this is what she's trying to prove. It's what she's trying to prove. And I still was like, this is incredible. I'm like, bro, that moment. I'm like, she is special. You know what I mean? You know, old boy special too. You know what I mean? Like he did a great job. Zendaya is just, she different, bro. She gonna be in this 30, 40 years, dog. You know what I mean? She has a bright future ahead of her.
All right. We're going to talk about WandaVision.
Yeah.
Tyler and I are very excited to talk about
it. Mike got a chubby over there waiting for.
Now we're going to talk about WandaVision. Mike's face lit up.
I've been waiting for this all day. This is the highlight of my Valentine's Day. Go ahead, man.
Tyler, did you watch it, John?
Yeah, I watched it. I thought it was great.
Okay, for sure. What did you think, Tyler?
I think my biggest takeaway is that her apprehension towards Quicksilver. It feels like Quicksilver was not her doing. Mm. And, you know, it's starting to feel like someone else is pulling strings here.
Yep.
I think that was the biggest takeaway from this episode.
I think, like, the biggest question to me is how much of this is something she's trying to do and how much of it is something that just happened because she's a grieving person who happens to be very powerful, right? Like, we're not always in control of what our brain is doing or even necessarily what our body's doing when we're like grief stricken. And so I think she kind of alluded to that. Like, it wasn't like she picked the town out and was like, I'm going to go here. I think she said like, all I remember was just feeling really alone, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it is just like, so we know it had to have been a conscious decision to go get Vision's body. But then is everything else that came after that just sort of like she screamed and it happened? or does she look for this is the right town based on how many people are here or whatever? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing I'm curious. That's the big mystery to me, is because that will determine how we come out on the other side of it.
Yeah. And I want to say I love the fucking Malcolm in the Middle fucking theme.
That was great. That was great.
I love Malcolm. Malcolm in the Middle, I have said, is perhaps the most influential sitcom ever, because you look at all these shows today, right? It seems like every show has the stern but loving mama bear, the quirky dad, you know, the kid who feels out of place in the family. And that all started with Malcolm in the Middle, breaking the fourth wall, you know, cutaways. That's like standard fare for all sitcoms today. And Malcolm in the Middle was like the first show to do that.
Looking at the camera for sure is like, you can't, I mean, it's like hard to find, you know, especially I think if you're watching, I mean, you know, everyone from The Office on was basically doing that like all the time, you know? Right. So yeah, you're right. They were like 10 years early on that shit.
Hell yeah.
What do you, the whole thing with Vision coming out of the town and then like starting to come apart was fucking fascinating.
Yeah, well, you know, they Monica, you know, they mentioned that her cells had been like went out. So I don't know. Like, you know, Vision doesn't have cells. He has circuits and shit. You know what I mean? So that might have been why.
But it's yeah. And it's like, does that mean he can't live outside of what she did? That's, or does it mean that she programmed him to not be able to escape her? Like,
yeah.
I mean, either one, that's pretty rough, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of questions here. We need some answers. We're going to get them. And what do you think about the whole Agnes thing? Do you think that was a ploy? Or do you think that she is genuinely a townsperson who's under Wanda's control? Because I think she was kind of trying to bullshit. I still don't trust her. So I don't know.
I have some theories about Agnes based on the comic book that I sent you.
Yeah. Agatha Harkness.
Yes.
Is the theory that's going around. But yeah, so I'm not sure. I think that was still a ploy. I don't believe that she's legitimately a town person who was under control.
I think she's an agent too. I like an agent of Wanda's in some way, shape, or form. I agree. And it just seems different. I don't know. Her reaction seemed different to me than the dude at his workplace that he took out. You know what I mean? But man, it's creepy as hell. You know, they've done such a good job being creepy. Her scene was creepy when they had that flash of Quicksilver, you know what I mean? Like shot up like that Shard jumped off the couch, bro. Like, I don't know. I think they're doing a great job of having a lot of different kinds of feelings and shit like in this one show. That is, you could, I think, even if you didn't like Marvel stuff, just enjoy, if you were just a TV person, like we have friends that don't really like superhero stuff. They're just watching it because they like seeing the different shows sort of parodied every week. You know what I mean? Like it's incredible how much different shit they're doing.
So we got what, two or three more episodes?
I think there's 9 episodes. So I think we have 3 more episodes.
Yeah. And they're all an hour long or something.
Yeah, they're all an hour. Shit's about to get real.
Yeah, because that would be the end of the second act. So shit's about to get, you know, very real. And we'll see if it's, you never know if a show is Watchmen or if Bran's going to end up as, you know, the fucking sitting on the Iron Throne, bro.
Brand the Broken.
You never know. All right.
I trust Marvel to stick the landing here. I absolutely do.
Oh, me too. And by the way, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I was not particularly excited for, I saw that shit that it's got whatever Sweden and other countries that do more strict ratings on their TV shows. It's getting the most mature level of rating because apparently of how violent it's going to be. So I'm all of a sudden, I'm very excited about that.
Yes. I really didn't give a fuck about I love fucking, you know, Bucky, but Falcon and... But yeah, if you're going to rate it R, motherfuckers going to be getting wet the fuck up and dismembered and shit, sign me up. Yeah, let's get it.
Y'all sound horrible. Dismembered? That's a hell of a thing to love.
You are wasting, bro. You are wasting Bucky's bionic arm if he doesn't tear a motherfucker.
Tear his face off. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, like, give me John Wick set in the Marvel universe, bro. Like, that sounds great. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Like,
hear
you have you have super spies with guns, bro.
You watching this shit for the action. Let's not play. You feel me?
It's not one. It's not, you know, maybe you could be a little bit edgier on the TV show. I mean, they haven't been a lot of jump scares in Marvel movies the way there have been with, like, Vision and Quicksilver and WandaVision. Yeah. So maybe you can go a little bit edgier and we don't have to watch super assassin people put people in sleeper holds for fucking 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like,
knocking motherfuckers out with a kick and shit. Like, this fucking 1960s Batman right. TV
Kapow!
Show. Yeah.
Bam!
That's been the only reason I haven't been that excited for the Black Widow movie, bro. Is just like, if you did a real Black Widow like spy movie, you know,
she would have to be killing everyone in her way.
Kill 70 people in that shit, bro. Exactly. I don't think it would hit the PG-13 target. You know what I mean? All right, man. I think that's it.
Johnny T times. Johnny out.
Johnny T times is out of here, man. All right, man. Happy Valentine's Day, fellas.
Y'all too.
Same to y'all.
Have a
man.
Great one for sure.